Thank you for downloading this podcast of Ion Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org. When one achieves great success in the entertainment world, normally fame comes along with it. But this wasn't the case for songwriter Eric Wolfson. Good afternoon, I'm Blaine Singletary, and this is a special edition of Ion Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. Most likely you've heard Wolfson's work, although few know his name. He was the songwriting genius behind many artists and bands, and is especially known for the Alan Parsons Project, which he co-founded. He passed away in 2009, but his family is working to carry on his legacy. His daughter, Sally, joins us on the line today as we look into the life and sample the music of Eric Wolfson. And on the line with us now from the UK is Sally Wolfson, the daughter of the late songwriter. Sally, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Blaine.
Now, as much as you can tell us, I know you weren't around for most of this, but how did it all begin for Eric in the music industry?
He was a musical child. He always displayed a keen interest in music, although he didn't sort of pursue a classical training. He very much taught himself, and he had an uncle who was a great pianist who he was very inspired by. And much to his parents' disappointment, instead of following what they wanted him to do, either becoming an accountant or helping to run the family furniture store, he rebelled, and he came to London aged about 18 and very quickly got himself a job with Southern Music as a songwriter. And Andrew Lou Oldham, the Rolling Stones producer, signed him up. And he was quite a prolific songwriter for a number of artists in the 60s. And that's where he cut his teeth, I suppose, Tin Pan Alley, Denmark Street in London.
Mm-hmm. And he worked with a lot of then unknown artists, and including Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yes, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice were also at Southern Music, I believe, also signed as writers. And they were quite similar to Dad in that they were looking for a different kind of vehicle for their songwriting talents. It wasn't about the one hit. And so they were very clever. They thought they went down the musical route that fitted their style of writing. And Dad also looked for a sort of an alternative route. And obviously, his route led him to the creation of the Alan Parsons Project.
How did he meet Alan Parsons?
He was working in Abbey Road Studios. At the time, he was managing a young boy called Darren Byrne, who was recording in the studio, and he met Alan in the canteen, and they got chatting. I think Alan, at that time, he'd just done Dark Side of the Moon, and he was a little bit disgruntled at how, you know, this album had done so well, but he was just on the standard, you know, Abbey Road engineer wage. And Dad got talking to him, and they decided Dad should become his manager and help him develop his career. And that's how the Alan Parsons Project became.
And Eric was very insistent in not having his name on the front. It wasn't the Eric Wolfson Project. It was the Alan Parsons Project.
That's right. Well, he was a very modest man. He managed the entity, which was a big part of this. And he wanted to be able to go to meetings and wax lyrical about Alan. It would have been quite hard for him to do that about himself. And he wanted to focus on Alan's role as engineer producer, a little bit like in the film business, you would focus on Alfred Hitchcock or Stanley Kubrick as the director of the piece rather than the stars in it. This was a totally new concept, and he liked the idea of being able to focus on Alan, so that he could really go to town on talking him up and promoting it to record companies and the rest. So yes, that was his choice, and I think he also enjoyed keeping out of the limelight and keeping away from the beast of fame.
Alan Parsons and Eric Wolfson, as well as a number of guest musicians, produced 10 albums as the Alan Parsons Project. The two went their separate ways when Alan Parsons decided to go more towards live concerts and Eric Wolfson towards musical theater. Shifting gears a bit here, what was Eric like as a father? He really brought his music home with him. He didn't just keep his work at work, per se.
Well, that's an interesting one. He wrote at home. I mean, our home, my childhood home, was where he did a lot of his writing. And you might think he sat at the piano for hours figuring out songs, but that's not how it worked at all. He would sit a lot in silence. I mean, silence and I was so much about him. He would sit on the sofa just in silence. You could sit next to him for half an hour and he might say two words to you, and he'd later say to my mum, "Oh, I had a lovely chat with Sally." He was sort of almost unaware of how much he was in his own head. And he would write the music in his head, and only then he might sit down at the piano and play it, once it really was quite formed. The same with the lyrics he would agonize over. The music he could write very quickly, the lyrics he was a real perfectionist about, and he would take weeks and months and agonize over those. So from that point of view, the writing side was very much in the home, and I would hear him, we would hear him play things on the piano, and then he would disappear for months on end in the studio, and I really didn't have a clue what was going on. That was all very much away from me and my sister. And then maybe we'd go in for the odd recording session, particularly if there was an orchestral recording session. That was always a real thrill. And then you'd get the final playing of the finished album, which was always a big moment. And I remember practically every single one. I remember that first time it was played.
We're two of a kind, silence of night. We need a chance to talk things over. Two of a kind, silence of night. We'll find a way to work it out.
Around the time of his death, it was quite an active time for Wolfson. The remasters of the original Alan Parsons albums were out, and they had a lot of unreleased tracks. And Eric had just released The Project That Never Was, where he kind of finished some of these tracks.
That's right.
Are there any other plans for future releases of his work?
We are actually at the moment working on a new Eric Wolfson musical album, where my sister Lorna has been working in the studio with Hayden Bendel, who is a leading recording engineer, who Dad worked with for over 20 years, and a fantastic musical director called Elliot Ware, who's the MD of Rock of Ages in the West End, and we're very excited to be working with some leading West End stars, and hoping to have Broadway too. We'll be posting more on the websites and Facebook pages as things develop, but we're very excited about that. In terms of The Project That Never Was, as you say, there was this album that he released just before he died. He had been working on The Project That Never Was, Volume 2. Unfortunately, and to our frustration, he hadn't completed the lyrics to most of them. And this is our dilemma. I mean, we'd love to release this music, but we can't complete it, and we couldn't possibly attempt to put in lyrics. They have to be his.
Now, would you say, though, regardless of his decision to kind of keep an unknown, not unknown, but more of a background kind of role, kind of keeping an unknown nature about him, that his music legacy has impacted the world?
It's an amazing thing, I think, that he achieved to have that level of success and popularity in terms of his artistic output, and yet no fame. No one knew what he really looked like, or half the time who he was. I mean, most people think, you know, Alan wrote everything. It's an amazing achievement, I think. I think his impact, his full impact, is yet to be realized. And I think he knew that. He knew that it was likely that it wouldn't be in his lifetime that it would happen. You know, he's made a very big impact in the German musical world and in the Asian musical world, but it's yet to happen in the West End and Broadway and internationally in terms of the musical theatre side, and that's our mission to make that happen and fulfil that dream he had.
Is evergreen, then maybe part of us could be eternal, though tangled life may be no more. A drop of rain upon the ocean, grain of sand upon the shore. The words will live forevermore. If you can hear me now.
And finally, what would you say is his lasting impact on you?
Gosh.
Take your time.
He's a very hard... It's very hard to sum him up. He was huge. He was just an amazing presence and so human at the same time. He was such a talent and such a genius, and then so human and lovable and kind, and... It's very difficult for me to sum it up in a nice nutshell. I just feel like I'm rambling on.
I guess you could say then that he's had a world of impact on each individual person his music has touched.
Yes, it seems to. I mean, it does seem to really resonate with people, certain lyrics or the emotion of certain songs. He was very keen with all his music and his lyrics, this is in particular, that he always wanted to keep an ambiguity with his lyrics. He never wanted to say, oh, this song is about this, I wrote this about this. He always wanted the lyrics to act like a mirror to the listener and help and so that they could make their own interpretation. And I wonder if his focus with that is part of what has made them so impactful to people. They sort of get into people's souls and the interpretation, what they mean to people, is very individual for each person. You know, he'd achieved so much artistically. Things like the Abbey Road showcase of Poe, that was just a magical moment for him. The Alan Parsons Project albums and his musical works, but probably more than anything, his family would always say, my biggest achievement is my family and my grandchildren, and he was very at peace with that made him calm and happy.
Well, Sally Wolfson, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Blaine.
That's Sally Wolfson, the daughter of songwriter Eric Wolfson. We've been speaking with her about his life and impact on the music world. For more information about the artist, ericwolfsonmusic.com, that's spelled ericwolfsonmusic.com. ION Entertainment is a production of Abilene Public Radio and the JMC Network. The show is recorded and produced at the Barton Worley Studios in the Don Morris Building on the campus of Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas. We invite you to share your thoughts on today's special edition. Let us know at our Facebook page at facebook.com/ION Entertainment Radio or on Twitter at EOEKACU. And there's a lot more from our conversation with Sally Wolfson, which can be found on our new podcast page at kacu.org. In the coming days, you'll be able to find today's show, as well as a special extended version, and more past episodes up soon. As always, I'm Blaine Singletary, and as long as musicians continue to impact the world in more ways than we realize, I'll have my eye on entertainment. Thank you for downloading this podcast of Ion Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org.